Khalifa, Ms. Tope Lekau. Over to you, Comrade Boy.
Chairperson, members of the and the House at large, we wish to take this opportunity of extending our gratitude for being invited to make this submission to this committee. Ours is true, because I think we are amenable with the previous presentation, but also as an organization which organizes workers in this sector, we thought it would be important that we highlight some key challenges facing the industry. As the hospital sector has been regarded as one of the most talked about transformation throughout or over the period since 1994-92. We are raising this against the backdrop that the government has actually put in place measures to market SAs and all its unique features as a perfect tourist destination. But the direction of the sector and everything else has been left in the hands of the captains of the industry. I think this can be attested in this house that most employers in this sector are not here, or the key role players are not here to make submissions for the purpose of ensuring that we transform the industry itself. As within any other sector, it is obvious that in instances of this nature, the presence of profits will supersede all potential progress intervention, which on its own is an impediment to transformation. We are raising this again because I think throughout the presentation this morning, small businesses have been complaining here that they are not being looked after, whereas the companies of this that actually are getting the most in this instance. I think if you go back to the tourism charter, that can speak for itself, but who owns the most? Because we are saying that the SMEs, for example, are not benefiting in the main. Those who are benefiting are the white companies in this industry. I think the most fundamental error that we need to pay attention to is the role played by the key role players, that is employers, workers, government, and communities in the industry. And in fact, how we have noted a number of issues being also the role player in the industry itself. One being the lack of the BE representation. At the strategic level, the ownership of businesses in this sector remained in the hands of few powerful entities. Of course, given the historical development, such few entities remain the wise in the main. Where BE candidates are involved, it is usually in the positions of with no particular influence and or policy decision making. I think the question of the skills development and skills transfers has been raised here earlier on. We want to fall in that too, as also is like that we have seen or we have realized a lack of skills that is relating to skills development, skills transfer, and ownership transfer for the tourism industry. The level of skills in the sector are deliberately low, therefore justifying the undesirable importance of skills. The interventions that are said to be in place are intended not to arm workers with technical skills and expertise, but merely to make them better cleaners and servers. Unfortunately, the skills that are imported either into entities or into the country are not transferred in a manner that would ensure sustained growth of individual employees within the industry. It is therefore no coincidence that a lot of us have remained in low positions with very little pay. We are raising this again, I think if you go to Waterfront, you will see by your own in this restaurant, you will find the so-called white waitresses in front service, the customers, whereas the black workers or African workers in the main will be killers in the back without being transformed or trained in a particular sector. I think also the pronouncement by the Minister of Labour today about the minimum condition in the after years of exploitation by employers. No one can live today with a minimum of 1.6 per month. I think the last definition which has elected in this industry was in 1986. Since then, there has been no improvement in the sector in terms of conditions of employment. Workers remain to be the one who is at a receiving end. We are also submitting that the legislative intervention has so far failed to change the ownership patterns in favor of the previously disadvantaged majority. For example, we are saying it may be claimed that there is a community tourism out there. While in fact, in this subsector, it does not belong to those communities which they operate. What we are saying is that the role played by the communities is that of a provider of labor more than anything else, because I think Mama has pointed out also earlier on that the intention for them was to create employment in terms of what we'll find. What we are experiencing in the township, those tourists, they don't plow back. They only pass and say hello when they without actually plowing back to the small business out there. And what we're also submitting here is that the noticeable massive non-full-time jobs and temporary employment services coupled with utilization of illegal and foreign migrant cheap labor. Migrant labor is not as a result of the scarce skills, but across categories to counter the so-called rigid labor market and your unions across in the sector. We are raising this through our experience, because if you go against the Waterfront and the other restaurants out there, you'll find most of our African comrades, you know, being used as cheap labor by the employers in this industry. We are currently working in partnership with the Department of Labor to investigate such claims, where those claims are coming. SACAO is one of the unions who should represent those comrades. But in partnership with the Department of Labor, we ensure that those issues are unveiled and stopped for them. What's still in the sector is more and more entities outsourcing the employment, as well as certain functions which are allegedly to be non-core to agencies who obviously survive through the provisions of cheap labor to employees of the Indian industry. And an example, if you go to Cape Town today, you will find Cape Town in the housekeeping department. You will find that operation is outsourced because the employer thinks it's a non-core business. Whereas contrary to that, just if you are sleeping, you can't go to a bed which is not clean or a room which is not clean. And that room must be cleaned, it must be, you know what I'm talking about. But those companies are claiming that those functions are non-core business. whereas we ask you for us to that self labor. You find companies like supervision, which are dominant in the cleaning industry, being used by those employers, exploiting our members. So, and also getting rewards for providing those job functions, whilst workers in that industry are being treated like, you know, somebody who is not from here. We are also noticing some kind of what we term informalization of the industry by some employers in this industry. What we're saying, whilst there is always talk about tourism boom in this country, this has not yet translated into quality jobs and the benefits in the jobs that are there. The industry was submitting its ex-growth as a result of being informalized to the extent that all the anomalies therein seem to be perceived with dismissive business as usual attitude. Over and above this, anything operating this industry seems to be exempted from the mainstream industrial relations framework in South Africa. Major operations also use interns or hotel school students as a permanent feature and replacement of full-time employment under the disguise of in-service training. We are raising this because it happens. In many operations, we uncovered that the employer was using the so-called in-service training in order to pay money from CETA and make submissions to department and do workers were trained, whereas we're using this in-service, you know, training, so-called in-service training. Because also we care about employment is rife in our industry, meaning that it does not take into account what is expected growth in the industry, in this area, especially the disadvantage. We are raising this because there are challenges facing us. 2010 is around the corner. It is our submission that we are not ready yet. So some employers are taking advantage. There will be, you know, 5 by 9 operations in us. That's our fear. Whereas ours said we must look beyond 2010. Because after 2010, South Africa will still have to sustain this industry going forward. So our submission, we are raising those concerns, whereas we agreed with the DG around some of the submissions about, especially around training, because I think everybody has been talking training and training over emphasizing that point. I think we fully agree with that. I think that should be a key priority within the industry. Chairperson, needless words to repeat submission made by us, we thank you again for this opportunity to make that submission.
Thank you, Congressman. I think without any waste of time, we'd like to invite Ms. Legao. Congressman, we will still ask you questions. So be ready for that. Could you have remained fine?
This opportunity that I'm given, that we are given as small businesses, as small entrepreneurs. But normally the entrepreneurs, we don't talk to papers, from papers, we normally talk from our hearts. But I'll attempt to talk from the paper now that I've drafted. When Albertina called me to say, write a paper, said, what paper? Albertina, I know what I'm doing. Why must I present it in the form of a paper, but let me practice presenting might be from the paper. I would first like to express my sincere appreciation to the Portfolio Committee for inviting us to this public hearing on transformation for tourism industry. This is the democracy that benefits all citizens who have looked forward to citizens who've looked forward to and can be proud of celebrating in South Africa, where the contribution of ordinary citizens like myself are valued enough to be invited to Parliament to provide input and feedback regarding government policies and programs. As I said initially, I was reluctant to submit a paper regarding the transformation of the tourism industry to the Parliament Portfolio Committee, the reason being the short notice given to me to do so, as issues of inherent challenges concerning the topic warrant far more reflection and evaluation than what the time allows. For those who may not be aware, most of the entrepreneurs, especially those who are involved in tourism business, we work 7 days a week, long hours, like no weekends. I was working this weekend flat when I was invited to present a paper on Saturday. I was working. There was no time for me to write a paper. But, needless to say that my program was fully booked till Monday. I therefore would recommend that in future, if constructive feedback is required from civil society, that citizens are notified sufficiently in advance, not only to ensure the effective outcome, but as the measure of respect for your valuable time as well here. Time is money. I'm sure for all of you, you are paid to be here and work, and we also, when we're sitting here, we must make constructive things with the time that we are given. Needless to say that my program, this business paper thing. However, I do realize that this is a platform, and this is a platform and opportunity to share my appreciation and concerns, frustration, and an experience on how I view what is called transformation in tourism industry as a product owner. First, I would like to congratulate the government for all the transformation initiatives that are in place. The government policies in this country are excellent, including transformation policies in all sectors. The concern, however, is the lack of monitoring the implementation of these policies to ensure stakeholders benefit from the valuable initiatives, especially those located out there in Khayelitsha, the peri-urban areas, Khayelitsha, the township, the rural areas. The government needs strong, really monitoring ways of seeing that the information, these policies, the information is really sifting down to the grassroots because it doesn't get there. It is actually pointless to set aside huge budgets for the transformation if there's no monitoring systems in place and mechanisms to ensure effective implementation as well as adequate distribution of information to the target market that is in tourism. I'm also aware that the DEET is responsible for covering the following: to fast-track the skills development, accreditation of service providers, that is now by TITA, to subsidize B&Bs, guest houses, grading, to train tour guides, to provide tourism awareness, to access the expansion of funds. The transformation initiative is undoubtedly an essential one that one has the potential of creating opportunities and providing skills to previously disadvantaged stakeholders to the tourism industry. It is, however, crucial that people have access to the relevant information to take advantage of advantage of these, so how to to ensure that people get access to the information. I wrote this paper, and my apology, very late last night. I just told Abetina that I've emailed the paper at 12 midnight. Many consulting companies make advantage of funds, apply for training tenders to train people. That is now the funds that are coming from the government. For instance, DIT has set aside huge budget, which is for skills development, to empower us, our people in tourism, to give tourism awareness. And there are so many consultant companies out there that apply, who have skills of applying for these tenders to get, you know, to do the training. But what they do after applying for these tenders, they don't do enough research to go down there to the grassroots to find out who wants what, who wants to learn what in tourism. We have so many people out there, the youth, the women that are unemployed, who want to be trained. But what is happening, these companies that are applying for funding, they would take the funding and keep the funds for almost a year. When it's close to time to submit reports to TITA, they come just in our communities, not even consulting the right people who are involved in tourism. For instance, because people like ourselves who've been running these establishments for a long time, our homes have become now advice centers, advice offices. People read about us in media. People see what we are doing. People come to our homes every day. It's knock, knock every day. Please, I want to get involved. I want to start a B&B. I want to be a tour guide. I want to know how I can get involved. And there is also this thing that is annoying me. Because the say that says tourism is everybody's business. It's written all over in our schools, in the community. And our people know nothing about this whole tourism. And again, when you talk from now the government, you keep on saying that tourism will create job opportunities. But if there is no way, as much as the government is doing so good, has set aside this huge fund of training, but if you don't really monitor how these funds get there to empower our people in getting involved in this tourism, it's pointless. Then you find us again, we who are involved in this tourism, we are now so overstretched because every day people are coming. You are also running an office, a business. You are not Mama Teresa. At the end of the day, as well, as much as, you know, when I started this tourism industry, coming from community development where I was working for NGOs nearly all my life, when coming to start a B&B in the township, I was not just starting something that would benefit me alone, because I was just saying that I'm moving beyond the type of development that I was doing in the old tribal days. I'm introducing now entrepreneurship in my community. I'm bringing this cake, by bringing tourists from all over the world to my home, I'm bringing this cake, but the cake whereby I will get my slice when I have visitors that are coming to my place, a cake whereby a fruit and veg hawker there, it supplies me with very good fresh veggies that I buy for my guests, will get a slice. A slice whereby a crafter in my community, a crafter that I will encourage to start crafting in my community, will get a slice of cake. A B&B owner there, because I was not starting a B&B whereby I will be the only one who's running a show. A B&B owner who will also encourage others to start their B&B so that when I have more guests, I can also give them a slice of cake. But one cannot every day become an advice office of people that are knocking every day, because if you are self-employed, you also have to make money. But what is happening now, what is really frustrating us, we are really coming to share. I, for one, I don't know about my other colleagues. Coming here, I was just saying, as much as I was so overstretched this weekend, over these past few days, even this morning, I said, no, I must come and share my frustrations with them so that they know that when they say they've set aside this budget, they must know who is this consultant who's applying to use to train our people. Because when they're coming back to the training, they get these funds. They don't check who's attending this training. They invite people there to come and attend the training. People don't know anything about this tourism thing. They've left with a sitting there with database of people who want to start, who get involved in tourism. They don't consult us. They run a tourism for people who want to start a construction business, people who want to just to attend, they're to be given a imali stipend for attending. They're leaving aside people that are really wanting to get involved, but at the end of the day, we are being told that tourism is going to create job opportunities. It is not going to create job opportunities if you are not monitoring it. And then, proper consultation by contacting people who are already involved in the industry will certainly prevent the waste of the money being exploited by consultants. Mm-hmm. Lack of integrity, who lack integrity and have no commitment towards effective transformation and nation building, who just want to make money now because by ever, who could deserve a lot of money from the government and they were aside to train people. Effective intervention measures will also prevent the government from being criticized for failure to transform the industry while under the illusion that you are providing adequate skills development programs because you are doing so good. The government policies are so good, but INEF is down there. You are not monitoring the mess that is happening down there. Who 2010 will be here? Our people will not benefit out of this 2010 because they don't know how to get involved. There are two people and three people who are involved in tourism, but I cannot afford, my other colleagues cannot afford to educate younger community just like Ayelita. If I see, well, also you don't work with us. I'm very, very glad now that you've invited us here to get our feedback. And then, Nancy and Inda. This BEE thing, oh, I don't know it myself. Nita must check in your BEE and scorecard. We're going to learn that BEE. Whoa. Many people, including myself, are unclear. We don't know how we'll benefit to this thing. It has been presented 100 times. I've been trying to read, maybe because language, this is not my first language as well. I read, I don't know whether Niaya or Niabuya, but if it's a need your help there, because you want our input, how we can benefit. We also want to benefit from this thing, but maybe a user-friendly explanation would be in a valuable document. It's need a document to disseminate this information in a more simple layman terms. Now, for transformation to be effective, we need to come up with an effective strategy of how to transform predominantly the white stakeholders in the tourism industry. We must remember that this industry has been an exclusive industry, lily white. Yes, now, after 1994, our government has been doing so many good things into transforming the business, wanting everyone, black and white and yellow, to benefit from this industry. But we still have a problem whereby our colleagues who are in this industry, our hotel frontline staff, the white guest houses, our backpackers, owners, the restaurants, car hiring companies, they don't want to give information to our guests when they want to come to the township. They forever discourage them that a crime. Crime is all over in the country. Mm-hmm. We always also tell them, our visitors, when they come there, that, you know, crime is all over. And also, it's not that Napi, we don't have bad apples, but the bad apples are not all over all the time. Sometimes our guests get risk of being mugged in the city center, but whenever the visitors want to come to, and also they don't realize that the visitors that are coming from abroad are so sharp. They know, they do their research, they know where they want to go. They know where they want to spend their money. When they come here, they have drawn their itinerary already. They know, I'll come to Cape Town, I will spend time in camp, say I'll spend time there. I also want to experience life in township, Ekhayelitsha. So even if they try to stop them, people come and tell us. And then you also have, in this transformation, we have a long way to go. Of also transforming the mindset, Yababandu, the white South Africans who are sitting there in London, who are stopping campaigning, stopping the white visitors that are coming from abroad to South Africa, that when you come to Kaiser, to South Africa, Cape Town, please don't risk going to town. Because we get visitors that are from the UK, the German, the United States, right now have visitors from the States that will be there till Thursday. Who are there coming, having done their research, and when they come, they have been told not to go to the township, and they tell us that they are the Yavlik. Are they saved in 20 years by now? We are being stopped from coming to the township. And then they spend 4 days. We ended up, most of the time at my place, I ended up becoming a base for my guests. They stay there 5 days. They drive themselves in and out. And what I, because also it's not that we don't lie, we pretend that there's no crime. I always would advise them that, look guys, when you drive around, you don't leave your bag like that. You don't give lift to strangers. I also don't do that. I don't give lift to strangers. I'm careful about my things when I'm driving around. So those things are the things that people in our committee, I don't understand this. Yeah, I don't understand this protocol. So the Dr. Mutong, Carol, Jitetanani, who are left those top positions. Well, when you talk now, discuss this transformation, look at those issues, because we are bringing the whole world, this transformation that we are talking about. You don't know the visitors that are coming in those communities. What is happening now in our communities, for instance? You find that you don't only find bookings of two people every day. You find large groups that want to come to those homes. So, and then, again, one other constraint is that we get large groups that are saying sometimes, Toby, we want to spend a night at your place. We are 25. I'll say, no, I only have 2 bedrooms that can accommodate 4. You know, we still split visitors to others, other B&Bs and all that. But you find those that are coming who say, look, we want to have a party till late. We want to socialize and drink until we drop till late, but be able to sleep together. And then you find that now you are under pressure of having to talk with your neighbors, but please set aside 1 room for me instead of in the 3, because they don't want to be splitted. So one other challenge that we are facing is of expanding our places, expanding our establishment. We've marketed ourselves aggressively. The whole world wants to come to us, but there's serious constraints. I often say that as much as I was now setting this as a cake, whereby I was saying I'll have my slice, the slice go to Maria, the slice go to my label, the other person, another time whereby now, because of the marketing that I've done, I want to have 2 slices and 3, because this, I'm in business. And I'm also growing. One day, I don't want when I retire, I'm poor like a pauper, but I was running a business all my life because I'm going to see one slice. This is business that I'm in. And then, well, now my conclusion now is just to my recommendations, actually. I recommend that you do, for a survey to be conducted, communicating all tourist-related initiatives owned by previously disadvantaged citizens, which can be used to determine training, resources, and funding requirements. And then also that representatives from government, tourist businesses owned by previously disadvantaged citizens, and training consultants meet and evaluate the transformation process to date, brainstorm an intervention strategy, compile guidelines as to a process that can ensure more effective transformation take place. That's an easy to understand explanation of the CE scorecard, and but it has been launched already. And ways in which small tourist business can benefit, be compiled and disseminated to people through existing tourist venues, NGOs, CDMs. Thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to share and provide input into the topic. I trust that although brief, severity of the issues and challenges and the negative impacts of these will continue to have on transformation process in the industry and will not fall into deaf ears. There are mainly previously disadvantaged citizens throughout the country dedicated to tourism at great financial and emotional and physical sacrifice for pursuing tourist-related businesses based on government efforts to promote tourism. Parliament as custodians has a crucial role to play in ensuring that the efforts are not wasted and that the democracy truly works for us. Because the pain that we have is that I often also say that because we set these initiatives in communities that are poor, unemployment is very high. In those communities, you cannot afford to grow in isolation. You want to involve other people. You want other people to benefit. So you I'm almost... Yes, in our communities, you cannot afford to grow in isolation. You want your next door neighbor to be able to put a slice of bread. Otherwise, if you grow alone, you'll be an enemy. Then it's where then there will be a crime. You have to see to engaging is just circulating around. People are being able to put something on the table because now we are confronted every day by this poverty, by this unemployment. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Top and Cow. I think we should also bring in the Annual Task Force so that we can take we're trying to manage time because there are quite a number of other presenters to come here.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everybody for inviting us to come here. Thank you for the challenge. I want to introduce first the company. The company has been in operation since 2004, and we are based in Thailand. We do inbound and outbound to the Indian Ocean Islands, such as Mauritius, Virgin Islands, and we touch a bit also France. And we own also a B&B at Finland. And all our vehicles are fully licensed with passengers with ability of 5 million rand. And all our drivers and guides have PDPs and are qualified and experienced to give a good customer care to all our valuable clients. And we are a member of Cape Town Tourism and have been attending all the relevant courses that the Department of Tourism has implemented for small, micro, medium enterprises, and of course all the meetings we do at that. And we are very professional and strive toward excellence to meet the growing demand of valuable clients. And we are always looking at options to improve and expand the business, and we honestly believe that as committed as we are, we deserve to be in forefront of the continuously growing tourism industry. And besides that, I've got 3 points that I want to mention. First of all, tourism is a big wheel that we are turning. And my first point starts with the B. I think a lot of people have mentioned, but I'm going to go through that in my own way. I think B has to be action, stand for action. That means do the right things, and not only action, but lots of action. First of all, as Dr. Matteo brought that before, he said about hard work. It's true. Before hard work, we need also willingness. You have to have the will to do. And lots of people love to work, but a lot of people don't want to work hard. You don't want to give that extra. Let's go over the limit. And success comes with that as well. If I can give a small example, if we look at Europe, for example, It took them about 3 centuries to be where they are. And for us as well, as a continent, or African continent, to see that we want to have developed countries, or we want to bring that terrorists, that needs hard work. Not only working, but to give that extra. For B, I think it's time to talk less and do more. So we need to be more action than talking. So that was my first point. My second point was more security, violence, infectious violence, and stuff that you know about it. Because mostly when I go and sell the country to a reunion, or if I go to France or I go to Mauritius, people ask you about safety. And I tell them, okay, see, if it wasn't safe, maybe I wouldn't be here. So if I'm leaving, it means that, sometimes people can talk, can see a lot of things and population. So I think we need to bring that on board, that safety is very important, because for example, for 2010, you don't need to bring people down here to come and die in the country. We need safety. It's good we're building stadium, making sure that we have enough B&Bs, hotels, or making big Otambo International Airport, or Kepa International, but we need to look at also the safety of the people that we're going to invite to the country. And my third point was the 2010. I think we need to change the way of thinking. We need to look at every second, minute, hour, day, week, month, or year. Because when I speak to a lot of people or my colleagues, I think it's time. 2010 has to be every day. It's not only 2010. Because for me, I think we only targeting to give the best of us on 2010. But we have to deliver this every day. We need to have that mentality and say, today is 2010, or tomorrow is 2010, and keep up the same standard. Because we know in 2010 we're going to have millions of people coming, but that doesn't make any difference. You can have one person coming to the country, we're still going to give the same standard of service, regarding what the events big like. But we need to keep the service equal, And something else as well, when I'm talking about the service, I speak to a couple of my colleagues, they tell me about, they're more thinking about filling the pocket, which is another problem with that, which is good. Then we make money, it's good, but don't forget the service. So it's very important. Because sometimes I had a situation, a scenario where we were at Johannesburg International, like Otambo International Airport. Sometimes my client's bags get lost, and you go and try to get a bag, but it seems like there's nobody to help. So it's part of the service. You need to look at your package, not only about building the good hotel, everything comes together. And the other hand, as I'm talking about the tech, I'll come back to that later. Let me finish with my sentence. Another scenario that I had, it was in Santa, one of the hotels, I was with the client. Wake up and they had laundry. There was no one to be found. Looking at the manager, who to speak to. And as you know, Santa is a very well-known area, upmarket area. But I'm talking about the service. So I pointed the bags, the airport, and the hotel. And besides that, I think we must say maybe it's a lack of skills. They're probably we have people they're on duty, but maybe they're not trained enough to be on that position. It could be maybe that. But another one that I've seen probably is also a lack of negligence. Because I know that in the country we have high qualified professional people that can do their job. Probably they don't. They are negligent. They don't want to do it. And I think it's a bit of a problem. Because I've been also in a scenario where, because I do to mention regarding, you go to some places, you find people are very high qualified, but you don't really get the service that you have to get. Maybe, I don't know if they are tired of waiting, or I'm not too sure. We need to look at that as well. Negligence is a big problem. As we are today as well, to conclude, I'll cut it short. As we are now today in a meeting, for example, there's a lot of companies, operators, B&Bs, or travel agents, but I was thinking maybe we're supposed to have a big room than this. You can see some people are not attending the meetings. I know some are going to India, but not all of them. I know there's quite a lot of people that are around, but nobody's here to come and discuss the issue. It's another problem, negligence. There are high-qualified people that are not here to come and discuss. Yes, just to start here, we have to discuss things and take it to the world. And that's what I have to say, and I want to thank you all, and thanks to the challenge.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ayanyuna. Very challenging, definitely. I think you hope you'll be on standby for questions. I think at this stage you should open up for questions. Okay, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are some very... I know perhaps we might think that we are not listening to issues that we want to hear. I mean, sometimes, perhaps, like, for example, from Roots Africa, he's been saying things that perhaps would seem as though it's got nothing to do with transformation. I think we must look at transformation beyond mere...
You're from Island Touch Tone.
Oh, Island Touch Tone.
Roots Africa Tour didn't come.
Oh, they didn't come. All right.
Mr. Ayanyuna.
Yeah, I think the point he makes is that when we speak about transformation, it must go beyond simply racial transformation or in terms of demographics. I think he raised a very important issue of ethics, lack of work ethic, poor service delivery, and lacking motivation. I think that's very crucial for the industry to develop. So that was a very good point he made. But I wanted to come to the previous presentation that was made here by Sister Topilakam. She raised some very crucial issues, and I think one of them was, it's okay to have rules and regulations, but implementing and having the will to implement and to monitor is crucial. And I think the department will have to take a look and see, where are we lacking? Do we have the capacity to monitor? Do we have the capacity to implement? It's okay to train the people, to have the rules and all of that, but monitoring capacity. And the other crucial information that she has given us is that crucial information that would assist people to understand BEE and the issues around the scorecard, etc. I think that the department might have to come up with some innovative ways to actually ensure that people on the ground get to understand these concepts. I think these are two very vital points she made. And the third, finally, it seems as though we talk about a lot of things, but we don't do them. And that point was made by the last speaker here about acting. SMEs and small businesses, a chairperson, do a lot for the economy. They create lots of jobs. The big hotels, etc., you can't rely on them for just job creation. I think the small business, the B&Bs and the townships, they have tremendous potential. I think it would be wise if the department would seriously look at their lack of capacity and how to give them capacity to expand. That's what the feeling I get here.
This is a deliberate house. We discuss matters. You can only ask permission for me to clap. I can indulge you. Mr. Korbaruleke Mashama.
Thank you, Chair. I think what one wanted to point out is the fact that Chow has mentioned that one of the major problems with some of these consultants, they don't seem to know the target market that they need to deal with. I think we really need to revisit that situation. And I also would like to comment and say that the gentleman from Island Touch has mentioned very, 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 very important part. Might sound as though it's not important, but that's the key. Safety is very, very important. I've experienced similar problems at the airport whereby you have your bags and when you reach the other side of your destination, you're missing an article. It's very important. So one would like to know whether are you somehow having some collaborative efforts with AXA to make sure that, you know, surveillance is built up in that area. Because it's very, very, very important. Now, another one on a lighter note. Sis Likau, you sounded to me as though you are the right kind of person to open up a consultancy because you are in the market, you know what's happening. There's an opportunity right there to be able to do something very, very positive. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, well, first of all, I would just like to say that while creating this document might have been quite a hassle for you, for us it's a valuable thing to have because we work from documentation. I mean, even though what you were saying may have been recorded, for us who need referral documents, it's an extremely useful document for us. So it was, for us it was worth your while you were staying up till midnight last night. But then also to say that I think some of the points you made were incredibly important and valuable around monitoring, because without the monitoring of whether what the department is doing, without monitoring whether that is actually happening and whether the training, etc., that they are doing is being is going forward to have an effect on the industry and on the communities and on people's lives. I mean, it may be disappearing into thin air. And we need to know whether there is some sort of an assessment of the successes and failures, not only of the previously disadvantaged groupings who are coming into tourism, but also for the more established ones. I mean, are they, of course, the main proof of whether they are being successful or not is whether the visitors are going back again for a second and a third and a fourth visit. And if they're not, then it's not working. And obviously with you, it is working. But I would just wonder, and maybe it does exist, whether there's any sort of a helpline within the National Department or the industry for people to call and say, look, this is my problem. How do I address it? Not usually shouting for finance or whatever, but just to say, give me a way forward, give me a way to work, give me a way to address my problem, because that might go quite a long way to assisting people. I mean, some of the obstacles that they are encountering may not be major, but they're enough to stop them in their tracks and stop them from building on what they have. So I would just ask if that is available, and if not, would they consider putting in place some sort of a well-advertised helpline? It may be busier than they can cope with, but then they need to take steps to make it a workable solution, part in a way a solution to the sort of problems that people are encountering. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Just to elaborate perhaps on what Ms. Thomas has said, I think it appears that if many people want to put up these small businesses, they seem to have a lot of concerns about excessive funds, about less economic empowerment, about skills development, how fair to access all this information. And I'm just wondering if Dr. McClough would perhaps thing that possibly his constituency offices could they could ask, go to the constituency office and perhaps get the information they require, because all the people in the community have access to these constituency offices, and they have people from national government and provincial government who go to these offices all the time. So I'm just wondering whether that could be a possible solution to some of the concerns that these poor people need. Thanks.
Thank you. I think I'd like to ask a question to Dr. Macho and maybe another question if Sabo is present. Particularly, who seems to know the camp. Firstly, don't you think would there be some funding available or some form of assistance around this expansion of houses? Well, what thinking is there on this? Because I think the point that she was making is quite an important one. But you may see the whole challenge of responding to market needs. And secondly, were you recommending that we have a meeting in which you can discuss in more detail how you want to build the industry? Were you saying that?
I think it's proper consultation, because you find that there is a lot that is decisions that are taken at the top level. Sometimes this information doesn't get to us. Perhaps if we can be invited, even if it's a consultation meeting, consultative meeting, where we can meet with you, with D, then we also clarify what we understand and what we don't understand. And maybe there is someone from the department, from the government, who's explaining these things for us in a more sort of workshop kind of, you know. Because, yeah. More to encourage participatory kind of thing, where we'll be asked to. You know. I don't know if I've answered it.
I will break parliamentary proceedings and allow the gentleman to speak.
Okay. Just to add to what you say, this is some of the consultation.
But you yourself, sir.
Okay, so my name is Sam, and I'm from the Special Approach, so run on small company. But I was just listening to what you were saying in terms of consultation or either before any publications in place or regulations in place. I'll give an example because I use transport. Let's say you go to the transport board. They will tell you that you must submit 14 days itinerary explaining where you're going to go. And in our industry, it's not like a taxi where I'm traveling from Langa to Cape Town. I'll get a call at 10 o'clock at night to pick up people in Kent Bay. That is not a bad itinerary. So it means I'm not supposed to go there because it's not indicated in the itinerary they gave me a day before. Of which, if they consult us and ask us which best way to give us those kind of documentation they want to give us, then we can give them an input. So those are kind of issues that need consultation before they can tell us what needs to be done.
Perhaps, Mr. Chair, even with the training, especially the example, we could even...
Perhaps this, because we are recording this. Only those videos we recorded, so come next to the microphone.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps with the training as well, we are out there in these communities. We know the needs of the people. At these consultation meetings, we would be able to give a proper feedback and direction and guide as to what is exactly needed, required by our people out there. Because we interact with them every day. We know the needs out there. Thank you.
Okay, then you want to comment? We'll have another round to do.
Chairperson, thanks very much. I must say, I hope that we don't get overwhelmed. I mean, the challenges are not easy ones at all. I think we have had a number of issues which we need to take back to Tshwane and look at how the department, together with colleagues in the industry, one, our public agencies, as well as the provinces and local government, have to deal with some of these matters. Most of them are micro matters. So for the department, we need to understand how, together with local government in particular, we can try and deal with some of these changes. Obviously, there are specific issues for us because we deal with some of these things at a specific level. Very quickly to say, the issues around aviation and transport, we have built partnerships with the Department of Transport, and the whole issue around aviation, not only at the safety level, but across a number of issues we're working together with them on. I think the issue of bags and, pilfering in bags is a major problem. It's something that we continuously raise with access. Of course, the biggest, the people who suffer most actually is FAA, because, the bags are run by equity at the airport, not by the airline. But of course, you check in at the airline, so that's where you go and complain. So there's a number of parties that need to work on this matter. And I think the issue of the bags starts on the whole issue of general safety and security and expectation that if you are a tourist, whether domestic or international, I mean, things that you have bought with your hard-earned currency, but also your privacy being invaded, are challenges that we need to look at. And I think particularly because the world is going to be watching us in 2010, these are issues that we need to work on. Safe to say, and excuse the pun, we are working together with the Department of Safety and Security looking at these matters, because one of our inputs into the Accelerated and Shared Growth Initiative is tourism safety. We are on Saturday, the minister met with his provincial colleagues at Indaba, and one of the issues for discussion was the safety and awareness plan that we are putting on the table. We have discussed it with industry, and maybe earlier on, the first speaker after us said, maybe we discuss with captains of industry, but not enough with other people. We have got to find ways in which we can get the safety and security plan also up to community level, because the safety issues are there at the community level, not necessarily at the hotel or whatever, but if people come into our neighborhood, or if other people are saying our neighborhoods are not safe, we have got to find ways in which we can change the mindset, but also bring reality and perception closer together. Chairperson, there was a question around how we disseminate information, whether we can use constituency offices. I think this is something that we've got to go back and again ourselves understand what does it exactly mean. Does it mean we give parliamentarians loads of information which they may not necessarily be able to disseminate themselves immediately? Are you the ones who are going to interpret? I mean, we've got to look at the logistics and understand. You remember, Chair, that at one time government put together what are known as community development workers, because it was said that national government was not reaching the floor sufficiently. Maybe this is where the need is greater. Parliamentarians are in parliament sometimes. What happens when you're in parliament? How does the information get to the people? I think we should look at that as one option, but look at community centers and other areas. The issue was mentioned earlier on of schools and how maybe we should use schools to disseminate some of our information. Maybe we should look at that. Safe to say, we do have a number of helplines and call centers in the State Department as a call center. And we have trained people not only to deal with our general issues, but also the transformation issues. There are telephone numbers and website addresses that we can give. But there's also an expectation that our provincial counterparts would also, at the same time, be providing information as and when necessary. There are the toolkits that through the Tourism Enterprise Program will also provide to people about looking at how to deal with certain issues in relation to business. The department publishes a book which is called the Financial and Support Handbook. In there, we have addresses not only of the department,
but DTI amongst others, CEDA, the Small Enterprise Development Agency, IDC, a number of the banks, in terms of the kind of work that they do, not only in terms of providing financial support, but other kinds of support, advice. Because as it was said, sometimes it's not that people need finance. Sometimes it's how do you get particular kind of information. And then the issue of expanding the BNB, it's a pity that I didn't bring my bag along with me. We're coming from Indaba, but FNB has a booklet that they have prepared indicating the kind of assistance that they are willing to give. And I can, you know, maybe if we have a tea break, just check on my cell phone for the number of the gentleman who works on these things in FNB and make the information available. ATSA has something called, it has given money to the tourism industry on something it calls Emerging Entrepreneur of the Year Award, where we go across the country before Tourism Month in September, you know, and act as mystery guests, evaluate tourism businesses from emerging enterprises. They are provincial winners who then are announced at the Tourism Month on the 27th of September. Those people, the 9 provincial finalists, are then taken to London to the World Travel Market in November, and we choose a national winner. Now, those people are encouraged, their incentives, I think 30,000 rand is what people win at a particular level, and the national winner has slightly more money. We would want to say, and share that again, and we recognize the difficulty, particularly for SMEs. As you say, as you are sitting here, your cell phones might be ringing, clients might want you to come to your businesses. But we are also saying that these kind of networks and interactions, as also knowing what your challenges are important, because as you say, we might be creating policy and not having sufficient capacity to monitor it, because we assume that these things are going on well and they're not. We, you know, we know also, we have said to SMEs, join ASASA, join SASA, and join these other organizations. And sometimes we're told it's too expensive to join these organizations. They don't deal with SME issues. We are pushing the Tourism Business Council of South Africa and saying you can't be a voice for the industry if you only speak for big business. You have got to cover all the issues that also involve smaller businesses. And so the issues about mentoring that we mentioned earlier on in the morning, where you are a B&B owner and then you are giving a tour, tourist guide, these are the kind of things we're going to take back to them. Because in certain cases, we are paying money for people to do mentoring. And if the mentoring is then not sufficient or is not appropriate, we've got to raise this matter. I think the issue of people in hotels, telling people not to go to townships and other things, we've raised these issues also with the industry, and it's a pity that, as you said, maybe, you know, in Daba, happening right now means that these captains of industry are not here. But it would be important that they themselves hear these issues. But at the same time, we do note that there are initiatives in the industry to, you know, in certain cases, mentor to change procurement. And we know there are examples of Southern Sun adopting guest houses and outsourcing some of their businesses to SMEs. What I would also want to then recommend, Chair, is that SMEs themselves form, you know, associations. If there's a BNB association in Khayelitsha, we will bring the Tourism Enterprise Program to come and assist in, you know, mentoring and growing your association. Because we don't expect that you must use your own telephones or use your own fax machine for doing the association's work. We will put funding behind that to ensure that the association grows. If there's money to be paid for you to join SACA and others, we would want to consider that we do that. Because you must then take the SME issues into these associations, which for the main are largely white, and deal with big issues. Or, you know, when we were in a meeting at Indaba on Sunday where big business was saying they would procure only from a certain level. But if you're an association of BNBs, and as you said, if you have only 2 rooms, but 20 of you have 2 rooms, that's 40 rooms. We can then say there is capacity in the county, because they're the kind of thing they also raise. Where would, if we go to a tour operator and say you're going to take 100 people to the township, they say, but where would we put them? What is the quality of service? So I think there's a need for interaction also, particularly with your local government, particularly with the provinces, but we as nationals would also then want to make ourselves available as best as we can on these matters. There's a tourism enterprise representative in the Western Cape. They may be, we are not, I mean, unless we are told of their inadequacy to service your needs, we may not be aware of this. We put up training courses sometimes. People don't go to the training courses. But again, we are saying we understand because you might have to be running your business and we don't expect you to be at the training courses. And as you say, maybe we should have training courses for 2 hours rather than 3 days. I mean, these are the kind of things that we should be discussing with you so that we tailor the courses to suit your needs. I think we agree that the issue of transformation in South Africa is not necessarily only about the seven factors we spoke about in terms of BEE. It's a change of the mindset. It's also, as a country, moving forward and becoming a nation and recognizing that, yes, we had divisions in the past, but we've got to work towards overcoming them. And I think we've had two presenters today who may not have been born South African, but as part of the African relations that we talk about, they create the value that has been mentioned. They bring language skills here that South African blacks may not necessarily have. And then we would also then say, encourage you people to also link up. If you have a B&B and somebody is running a tour operation bringing French tourists over here, we would say that you should already be creating those networks. Small things that sometimes we say to B&Bs, or I mean to SME owners. When a person meets you, you say, oh, I forgot my business card at home. Oh, I didn't bring my business card. Those kinds of small things sometimes that we owe. You are saying government must also improve. Who would also want to say to our colleagues, you are business people. You are running professional businesses. That is expected of you. We get sometimes people saying to us, we had a B&B, they were supposed to pick us up at OR Sample at 9 a.m. They came at 10:30 and the person was smelling of alcohol. So these are, I mean, I think in the same way that you are raising your challenges, we are going to put these challenges on the table as well. I mean, some people come to us and, you know, say, you have a restaurant, but the bathroom facilities are just next to the restaurant. Food is left open on the table the whole day. One of the most popular restaurants in Soweto, I won't mention it, you might know who it is. But these are some of the things that come to us. We know people might have started from a small base, but, you know, these things we've also got to put on the table and say, as we grow, we've got to ensure that these things, we become professional ourselves and not say because people are small business, they can be professional. Charles Stockton.
Thank you. This thing around the Spanish, you know how to do a transfer.
I'll give the details of FNB. At least there's one bank. I'll give the details of ASTA. I'll give the details of Standard Bank as well, who came to see us last week, who are interested in getting into the industry. We will also then give the details about the Tourism Enterprise Program so that we then have quite a spread of a network of people who might be able to assist at a financial level and others who might assist in other ways.
I'd also like to get that kind of information. I think the kind of information would like to address the committee. Okay, we have to move on. I'd like to mention the grant in the end. Mr. Faust, can you ask that question?
Yeah, just on a lighter note, I just wanted to know which constituency office, DA or ANC office that you want to use for this purpose.
Well, I think that your recent election to the top echelon of the DA has really given some humble. Okay, if we could move on to money of BNB, I believe Mr. Kebeni will present, and then the three speaks, BNB, Elizabeth Fester, is she here? Okay. And then Rio's Jazz Cafe, is Mr. Mahubelela here? Okay. Can you have two of you? Can you come one, please?
Many of you know me, but today I'm wearing a different hat. I'm representing Maneo. Unfortunately, she's attending the Tourism Media Venture. I'm a son-in-law. I won't be long, Chairperson. I'll actually allude to some of the issues that were not raised here during the previous presentation. Let me start with the background in terms of how Maneo BNB was established. It was established in 2001. By Lindy West, Peter. She was a nurse, and then she decided then to retire. And then with the savings that she had, and also the pension sort of fund, money generated from the pension fund. She then said, you know, started the, you know, manual bed and breakfast. She was doing it as a hobby and a way of wailing away time because she didn't want to get bored. But little did she know that it was, they have a positive to sort of develop into a bigger business. Today it is a three-star establishment run by herself and one assistant. I think the challenges that she's confronted with are quite enormous, like the previous speakers have already alluded. I think, you know, the D&D industry is in the periphery of the entire sort of hospitality industry. There are a number of perceptions around lack of incentives, as well as perceptions that these D&Ds are not run according to best practices and standards. And this is due to the fact that I think people that are also employed, and also people that are owning these industries, do not have that sense of the business sense of, you know, of the industry. Lack of training in, you know, people before me touched on that. I think, you know, what needs to be done in terms of business, I mean, of training, is that we need to ensure that while training is conducted, but you have people from probably from the Department of Tourism or Environmental Affairs and Tourism monitoring, you know, the performance of these industries in terms of the services that they offer, so that they are kept sort of, you know, on their toes, that whilst we're providing training, at the same time we're monitoring, because money is going to be injected into that, so that it's ready for money. And secondly, I think D&Ds are also short-selling themselves. There are a number of non-traditional means of marketing and promotion that they can embark upon, which they've not sort of kept. And they're relying on the mainstream sort of marketing and, you know, promotion and branding kind of campaigns, which are quite expensive. For instance, running a campaign for a week, print, electronic and so forth, will cost more than 200,000. And that's money that most D&Ds in the previously disadvantaged areas do not have. So that's the number of traditional means, I mean, that were used in the past to market and promote businesses that they've not sort of tapped into. I think also the other issue is that DMDs are also not utilizing the advantages that are there or the opportunities that are availed by the South African diplomatic offices and as well as in South Africa, offices outside the country, because those, I mean, the use or utilization of those offices can bring huge spin-offs for them, because, you know, those that are feature, I mean, free of charge, you can actually send your brochures, send your whatever marketing material that you have in, you know, to those diplomatic offices. I've seen a number of well-established businesses in South Africa, you know, marketing themselves, using our diplomatic offices and the offices of the Tourism South Africa. I think these are issues that our small-scale D&Ds are not aware of, that is harmful. I think also the challenges with Tourism South Africa to go out there, educate and inform small-scale D&Ds that these are the other opportunities that are free of charge that you can utilize and to market yourself internationally. I think also, Jefferson, the question of transforming the hospital industry will not really materialize if we don't transform perceptions, because perceptions that exist about D&Ds in the geographic disadvantaged areas not being run professionally and so forth are created by, I think, by this the path that we're coming from, you know, that going to so-called township is a higher risk, and that these are not run professionally, but we do find small-scale D&Ds are run professionally. So I think the question of transforming perceptions is quite a huge challenge. So hence, the question of marketing, you know, public awareness and issues of promotion and so forth are quite important, so that we deal with the perceptions first, because we cannot transform the industry without transforming, really, people's perceptions. The other issue that I'd like to sort of flag on is the question of security. Previous speakers have spoken about perception that PNGs in the particularly disadvantaged areas are not safe. There's a huge challenge in terms of investing in security for small scale PNGs, because even if you install CCTVs and other security management systems, you still around you, if there's that perception that even around you, just in one particular island that is safe, but around you, there's rampant crime. You won't be able to change those kind of, ensure that paradigm shift. I think also what is important also is the creation of, or initiation of a campaign, either by, Tourism South Africa or the department itself, to say that safety and security is a responsibility of everyone. B&Bs are as safe as your mainstream hotels and B&Bs that you find in town. Because the condemnation of, or the perpetuation of this perceptions, about B&Bs not being safe, particularly those that, that are situated in so-called townships, still is a deterrent in terms of attracting tourists to those particular areas. So, creation of an awareness campaign, sort of a crime awareness campaign, to say that these B&Bs are safe and well off as those that you find in town. I think it also affects the small scale B&B owners, because they can't do it themselves, because they don't have the money, they don't have the capacity to do that. The other issue that I would like to reflect on is that B&Bs in the privileged and disadvantaged areas are not talking to each other in terms of sharing experiences, challenges that they encounter, so that they empower each other, and also speak as a single voice. I think if they don't create a platform for themselves, in order to get a bigger slice in the cake that is being held by your large businesses, they're not going to succeed. So I think the creation of platform where you continuously, speak to each other, raise challenges that they encounter, they encounter as colleagues, because I think the challenge that they have is that while they are small-scale entities, but they are in business, so they are in competition. So hence, that lack of interaction amongst themselves. And I think that is doing them a huge disservice. I would also want to reflect on the question of BNBs being utilized as a hub of activities during 2010. I understand that there is a plan currently underway to ensure that people are not going to be able to afford to go to the stadium to watch soccer matches because of the lack of affordability, in terms of tickets and what have you. There's a plan that there will be big screens erected somewhere in certain places. I think if we can utilize the existence of B&Bs so that these screens are also set up in those localities, because not everyone coming to South Africa during 2010 will be coming to the stadium. Some of them will be coming just for the sake of enjoying that ambience of festivity, and those that will be staying in the B&Bs would want to also experience the local kind of way of life, and they want to stay in the B&Bs, watch soccer there with the locals. So if the department or the structure that is vested with that plan could also ensure that B&Bs also have a slice in that medium or large sort of screens are sort of erected there to create that kind of ambience of festivity in a stadium. I think that would also promote B&Bs. I think also, Chairperson, B&Bs need to think beyond just offering accommodation. Because there's this craziness about 2010, the opportunities that are coming. 2010 will come and go, but B&Bs will still remain with the challenge of attracting more people to come and stay in the establishment. So I think they also need to diversify their businesses. They need to be creative, they need to be innovative, they need to think like entrepreneurs. And they should not be immune to risk-taking. They should not really be afraid to take risks. So I think at the end of the day, when we talk about expansion, whether we talk about expansion towards 2010 or talk about expansion after 2010, they need to ensure that at least people do not remain with these huge entities that will be the white elephant without the capacity to attract tourists. But they need to think about conferencing. Need to think about also getting into the transport, tour operation business.
You need to think about how they're going to utilize the space that would have been created for that expansion, not merely to to accommodate people, but also to ensure that they are into conferencing, hosting workshops and so forth. Because it would be a futile exercise to just expand, and then there's a challenge of one being not being able to attract patrons to come and stay in those DMVs. I think Chairperson, for now, I will stop there. But my emphasis would be really on assisting DMVs, the small scale DMVs, to be able to diversify their business rather than just the main accommodation facilities. Thank you, Chair.
You'll be around for questions. You are not running on
good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a privilege for me to be here today. I was looking forward for a day like this that I can come and express myself towards the BNB. My BNB is situated in Atlantis, and I'm coming a long way with that BNB. It's around about 5 years now that I'm struggling with that BNB. Up till now, Albertina, I'm pleased to meet you. I will try my almost best to explain myself today because my home language is Afrikaans.
Do you want to speak in Afrikaans?
I'm Afrikaans. I thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Meneer was nie by die school toe, ek by die Engelse klas kom nie. Oh, I thank you. Maar, meneer.
Apology, we didn't have a teacher, an Afrikaans teacher when I went to school. Not an English teacher when I went to school.
So to consider it, it is Elizabeth Fister, it is woonachtig in Atlantis. By in die begin het ek die naam gebruik Wheat Beach omdat dit 'n ontbyt graan is, het ek daai naam onder daai naam gebruik, maar naarmate ek toe die plek geregistreer het en so, het kon ons toen nie die naam gebruik omdat daar 'n Wheat Beach fabriek in Atlantis is, en dat was toen nou die rede vir die afkeuring. So op die oomblik is ons Sister Bed and Breakfast. Dit is die naam waar ons geregistreer is en waar ons strijd.
My name is Elizabeth Fester. I've got an B&B in Atlantis. And at first I named the business Wheatbix Enterprise because that's breakfast cereal. But then I was forced to change the name because there's a Wheatbix factory in Atlantis, and now I'm just called it Fester B&B.
My B&B is op die internet, ek is gekoppel aan die groot toeriste in Dawa van Suid-Afrika. Maar ek het baie concern wat ek vandag wil onder die aandag bring, omdat ek van governmentse kant af, regeringskante, het ek nog geen help gekry.
My business is on the internet, linked to the big tourist in Daba, and so I've got exposure, but I have a number of concerns which I would like to bring to your attention because I haven't received any government support in my business so far.
My first concern what I will onder die aandag bring is business opportunities from the department to Atlantis. Business opportunities wat nie deurkom na Atlantis toe, daar is geen manier hoe ons opportunities kry ten opsigte van correspondentie. Ons kry dit either te laat of ons kry dit glad nie.
My first complaint is about business opportunities not being channeled to Atlantis. We are not being made aware of any opportunities. If there is any correspondence, either we don't receive it or we receive it too late after the event.
Another what ek baie graag wil vandag hier uitdruk is die workshops wat die hele wetenskap aangebied word. Workshops wat hoe jy opleiding kan kry om jou besigheid te run. Soos ek bijvoorbeeld met my BNB, ek het nog geen workshops gekry of opleiding gekry of ek is nie geëduceerd, dit is maar een visie wat ek het en een visie wat ek het omdat ek die grootheid het wat ek maar die visie gehad het en dat geomskip het aan die BNB, maar ek het nie opleiding daarvoor nie.
My next concern is that I have not received any training. They haven't seen any. I'm aware of workshops being offered in the Western Cape. There haven't come any to Atlantis. And because I have a big house, I transformed it into a B&B. But I'm just acting on my own vision without any training.
Ek gaan gereeld baie male, ek travel perfectie, ek het nie vervoer nie. I don't have my own transport, I must make use of the public transport. Dit kost my elke keer 100 rand vir my en my man op en af, van Atlantis af, kaart toe. Ons het prepaid telefoon, ons het paar 100 rand as prepaid kaartjes wat ons gebel het naar die DTI toe. Die man by die DTI wheel wat veronderstel is om ons te help, hy is of nie daar nie, of hy is afsiek, of hy die skont nie terug nie, en ons gaan al die pad gaan ons uit Atlantis uit naar die DTI toe, sonder om gehelp te word.
I don't have private means of transport, I don't have a car, so my husband and I have traveled from Atlantis to Cape Town by taxi. It cost us 100 rand, and when we try to contact the person Royal at the Department of Trade and Industry, we have spent hundreds of rand trying to phone him to try and make an appointment. He's either not at the office or he doesn't respond to calls, he doesn't return our calls, and we travel to town to meet him, but it's all in vain.
Ons is teleurgesteld ten opzichte van die government wat nooit gebruik maakt van ons in Atlantis nie. Ons hoor, daar is altijd geleendhede vir verkettering, daar is altijd geleendhede vir die bus tour operators wat nooit voor ons links in Atlantis die wat nooit navraag doen rondom ons nie. En dit is voor ons een concern. Ons het, daar was een groot project in Atlantis, die nieuwe Eskom, die Koeweg krachtcentrale, het gebouw daar. Mensen het gekom, het is nou nog bezig met die tweede fase. Mensen het gekom van overseas gekom, baie mensen het gekom uit en in. En ons het gesit met die minister Eric Irwin was daar, ons het met hom gepraat. Ons het gepraat met minister Lynn Brown, wat een goeie vriendin is van mij oor die jare. Ons het gepraat met Eskom se minister. Ons het bekend gemaakt van die BNB se daar is. Maar tot nou toe het ons het niks deel gekry van die Eskom project wat daar in Atlantis is.
We are very disappointed in that none of the opportunities from the department side or from government side or any official side have been channeled through to us. For instance, tour operators have not contacted us for catering purposes. Then there's a huge ESCOM project, Coburg expansion phase 2 is still in progress. There were many people from overseas working at that project, yet no inquiries have been made at DMVs to accommodate these people or to be involved in any way and to benefit in any way from the expansion projects to ESCOM. And I've been in contact with Mr. Minister Alec Irwin and also Minister MEC Lynn Brown and the head of ESCOM, but up to now the DNBs in Atlantis have not benefited at all from this expansion.
The government praat van die groot geld van small businesses, die praat van vrouwenbemachtiging. En dit is meer een machtige probleem om aanzoek te doen. Die vorms is zo ingewikkeld. En die DTI laat weet nooit vir jou, het hulle jou correspondentie gekry, al dan nie. En ek wil vandag graag meer inlichting hee of gewys word wat hier die platform is, hoe mens kan aanzoek doen vir befondsing, want rechtig waar, dit is a teerpunt en het is a groot probleem om aanzoek te doen en om die vorm te compleet, want die vorm is so dik en so ingewikkeld, heeft die verstaan het, ek het wel aanzoek gedoen dier die DTI. Tot nou toe, ek het al aanzoek gedoen 2 jaar gelede, ek het tot nou nog nie gehoor, even of hulle die documenten ontvang het, van die documenten, moes ek gepost het Pretoria toe, en ek weet tot nou nog nie, of hulle dit even geontvang het nie, ek het nie een slipje gekry, of een antwoord gekry, maar dit gekry het nie, maar dit is al 2 jaar gelede, wat ek dit even wacht vir antwoord.
I have applied for a grant from DTI. We hear a lot about support, government support for small businesses and the empowerment of women in business, but in practice we haven't seen anything of that. The application forms to be submitted to the DTI are extremely complicated, and when you do apply you don't get any reaction. I applied 2 years ago already to the DTI in Pretoria. I had to post the forms there, and up to now I haven't even received a confirmation of receipt of those forms in Pretoria.
Ek het hier neergeskrywe, how can government help? For me, especially my, I'm talking from my point of view, soos ek gereed gesê het, die bed en breakfast het ek nog geen help van gekry nie, en ek kom ons al aan die 4 jaar aan daarmee, en 35 jaar die wat ek die bed en breakfast het. Ons daar was, toen ek vir my geregistreer het, was daar baie mense van die toeriste kantore hier by die Waldorf gebouw. Baie van hulle was daar geweest, hulle het baie dinge vir ons beloof, like towels, and cutlery, and bedding, and all that kind of stuff, and hulle het beloof om, die enigste ding wat hulle gedoen het, is om die kaartjes, en die browsers, en die business cards, die het hulle gemaakt by die toeriste kantore gemaakt, en maar, ons niet in die onze behoefte, is van so aard dat ons het towels nodig, ons het cutlery nodig, ons het glas nodig, soos ons nou een financiële inspuiting kry. Maar jy weet, die finansies, soos ek het verstaan, as ek nog een aanzoek doen, dan moet ek iets te woord geef by die bank. Bijvoorbeeld, ek moet my huis inboet, om wat van die finansies te kry. Ek kan nie my huis inboet, want ek is werkloos. Ek is unemployed, ek sien nie my weg op om my huis te gee as security, waarvoor ek gewerk het nie. So, ek wil vandag een riglijn hee, hoe moet ek te werk gaan,
om financieel support te kan krijgen. Want ik kan definitief niet hard gewerken. Daar was dit als ik een wind. En I built that house with my pension. And I thought maybe the children could stay there in a big house, but when the house was not yet finished, the children had been married. And so I had that big house, and I've got no money at all. I put my pension and everything in that building, and so that construction and so on. So my B&B had a very groot behoefte met cutlery and glasses and bedding and centra. That is a big concern for me.
But my question is, how can the government help me? When I registered my business, I'm going on to the fifth year now. There were a lot of promises from tourism officials about the support I would receive, about towels and cutlery and crockery and so forth. The only support I did get was that brochures and business cards were printed. But I actually need funding. My problem is I used my pension money to build a large house. And I understand that if I apply for funding from a bank, I have to offer my house as a security, and I'm not prepared to take that chance, that risk of losing the house, because that's all I have, that is where I live, and my pension money has gone into that. So my question is, how can government assist?
Ons was allemaal opgewonden, ons keek vorm toe voor de World Cup van 2010. Ons was in ons hart, ons was opgelucht, ons was dankbaar dat ons die bid gekregen en zo. Maar mijn vraag vandaag is hoe om voor ons om op die standaard te komen, zodat ons die oorzeese toeristen kan accommoderen. Mijn vraag vandaag is hoe met die verwachting wat ons heeft om vorm toe te kijken voor 2010. Ik zei weer dat ik praat ik van mijn B&B. Hij is niet op standaard, nee. Daar is baie plek, ruimte voor verbeterings en veranderings. En daar is baie goed wat een plek nog voor gezet moet worden. En dat kan sommer een vrije plek worden, want die lijn is groot genoeg om het zo te stellen. Die grond is groot genoeg en zo. Maar ik heb financiële oogpunt uit en Atlantis is een, ik hoor die mensen zeggen, ja, crime is all over. Atlantis is ook maar niet een uitzondering niet. Maar Atlantis is een goede plek, want ik heb 25 jaar in Atlantis en hij was toch voor mij net goed geweest. En zo met die World Cup wat bezig is om aan te komen, zien we het rechtig voor en toe uit. Maar mijn begeerte is om mijn plek te upgraden en te veranderen in die standaard te upgraden.
We are all very excited about the Soccer World Cup in 2010. We're very glad that South Africa's bid was successful. But I would love to upgrade my B&B up to international standards so that I can also benefit from the international visitors drawn to the World Cup. And I cannot do that on my own. So my house has the potential, the plot is big enough, there is room for expansion and improvement, but financially I cannot cope with that and I would need funding to upgrade the facilities.
Een kort gezegd, ik is rechtig bevoorig om vanmiddag hier te wezen. Ik heb bij je verdwaald in Atlantis. Ik heb vroeger die plek gezocht, ik ken die kapie. Ik was daar boven de wetgever ook geweest en die politie moest weer een schoring naartoe. En maar ik heb het gevoel, dat is die platform wat ik, en dat is die plek wat ik wil bij je, om my standpunt kom lig hierso, en ek is vanmorgen rustig dankbaar, en ek is blij vir Albertina, dat sy die moeite gemaakt het om my te, ek het op die sokkerveld gesin, toe sy saterdagmiddag bel, en ek denk, dit kan nie wees dat ek moet daar die government toe kom nie, maar ek is vanmorgen blij en dankbaar vir die geleentheid wat ek gekry het, om een kort net vir u so een kort te gee, en ek sal dit baie op waardeer indien ek verdere correspondentie deur die government kan kry. Ek waardeer vir u allemaal en baie dankie dat ek gekom het. Het u my genooi het by Albertina.
In brief, I want to thank you for this opportunity to put my case here and to thank Albertina for inviting me to come. It was quite a struggle to get here from Atlantis. I got lost in the way and the police had to escort me here from the chamber. But I'm very glad that I've made it, and I was very surprised to receive the call when I was called to testify here. And I thank you all very much for this opportunity to address you. Thank you.
Thank you. She may take a seat, because maybe there might be some questions that might come up after that. So, set my pass.
Yes.
Thank you. I suppose we do have another presenter.
Yes.
So, you've got the floor, sir. If you tell us who you are, where you come from.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Luvuyo.
Is it coming from your...
You can take me to see if I've written down everything.
Tea for everybody who would like to have a cup of tea.
I'm going to
Okay, I just want to give just a brief history about the Chinese cafe. Actually, it started from a car garage, which is a double plot garage. And I was asked by my actually neighbors when we discovered that Mandalay had only residential, was a residential area, and there was no entertainment facilities around it. And the purpose of starting that chess cafe is that I was asked by the neighbors, and the other thing that affected them is that we were coming from outside Mandalay, Kublai, to Langa and other areas, and then people used to experience some, you know, get some accidents when they come from the previous areas which they used to come from, and they asked me to start this concept. By that time, I was still working for the city council, and it was just a weekend thing, you know, when we were off from work. And then we gathered as neighbors, and then I bought some couple of, in fact, I hired some couple of pool tables, and we gather in my garage every weekend to play pool tables. And then the gospel spread, and we had some friends who were coming from other areas as well to come and join us, and then we played pool. And what happened is that the concept grew, the business concept grew from that point when people started to add some number of services. People would come and say, Vuyo, can I get some water? And then I would offer some water. And then the other one would say, is there no place nearby where I can get a beer or something like that? But the main purpose was for us to gather to play pool. But then the whole concept, to cut the short story, the long story short, it turned into being a business concept for me. Because what happened, as we were gathering every weekend in my place, we started to actually joining other associations. Like, we started to form a Mandalay Pool Development Association. And then from there, I then started to experience people coming from other areas. And I was inspired, in fact, when I was working for the council, when I was working around Cape Town. And when I saw the beauty of the city, and then I started developing a passion for tourism, it is when my concept in my garage, when it grew, I then started to develop this passion for tourism. And as I was carrying on with my work, I started to improve the garage, and I started to use funds from my own salary, and I improved it from point A to where actually it is now. Not necessarily that it is an upmarket thing, but it is a converted garage to an entertainment spot. But what I want to say is that my entertainment area now has turned into being a nuisance to the area because of the influx and the you know, people that are coming from other areas to come and get entertainment in my place. And the reason why I call it Jazz Cafe is because I didn't like the term that is used in the township, which is most commonly known as Shebeens. I decided to call it a Jazz Cafe. And when I started that, and I started to actually invite local people to come and play the jazz music, because I was a jazz lover, I grew up from a jazz environment. And I started to invite guys to come and play jazz. I'm talking about the local artists, guys who have made it to the top, to the professional level, but guys who are around in the township. So the concept grew to an extent that I realized that I couldn't make it anymore to go to work. So I decided to resign to look after the business full time. And then when I resigned, I did the tour guide in 2002, which was also driven by the fact that I had a passion for tourism. But unfortunately, I haven't practiced tour guiding that much, although I do freelance and tour guiding now. My main focus is in my business. And the only problem that I'm experiencing now is expansion, because it has started in a residential area, and now the neighbors are starting to complain, and I start to realize that the customers are starting also to create problems for the business. There are actually nuisances in terms of when after they've entertained themselves, and you know, the after effects of entertaining themselves, they become now nuisances to my neighbors. And I came to realize that I need to move out of the boundaries to actually go and get a plot somewhere else, but around Mandalay. And but what happens is that my experience in tourism is that, firstly, I struggled when I wanted to get the license. It was a big battle. And I believe that the license is also done in the same department that is Department of... What is this department? Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, yes. Of Economic Development and Tourism. And then from that experience, what I'm experiencing now, which is why I want to actually motivate for a land management program, that if it can be introduced, you know, in the tourism industry, in fact, the tourism department, because what happens is that our businesses have gone to an extent of expansion, and to an extent that they can no longer operate in the same backyard where we started. We need to actually move on to the mainstream. And the problem that I'm experiencing now is that it is difficult to actually access land. Not necessarily difficult, but with the processes that we are encountering. I'm not going to read on the paper that I wrote, because I wrote this paper within a short notice, but I tried to write something which I've just highlighted some few points, the BE charter and the scorecard. My concern with the BE charter and the scorecard is that most people need to be educated and equipped with the necessary knowledge before they can play a meaningful role in the industry. So the BE charter has been launched in Gauteng, but it has not yet filtered to the grassroots level. The process has passed without enough consultation with the emerging entrepreneurs. The sectors that are affected are the local community-based businesses. As a result, 2010 will pass by without the necessary changes unless the government could introduce an agent intervention program. What I'm trying to say is that